reading a few verses from Paul's farewell address to the Ephesian elders. Acts 26 and 7 through 31. For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears.
Well, good morning. We do have a number that are visiting with us. We are so thankful that you are here. It's always good to get away, to hold gospel meetings, but it's always wonderful to come back home, and I appreciate Tyler for preaching last Sunday morning. And it's wonderful, obviously, to be back. I want to take some time to thank the ladies that were involved with the Ladies' Day, Ladies' Conference yesterday, did a wonderful job, and I very much appreciate that. Those of you that were able to be a part of that, I know will benefit greatly, and then obviously God be glorified in all the work. And so I just want to thank you very much for all that you did on behalf of that. And I want to thank Stan Porter for serving at the luncheons. He did a magnificent job. If you didn't see that, you missed a treat. I want to talk about God's plan. For some of you, this is a song. That's not what I'm talking about. God's plan is so amazing when it comes to so many different things, obviously, and certainly when it comes to the fact that churches need organization and the idea of what that looks like. Acts the 20th chapter is a passage certainly we'll go to in this month talking about this subject and the idea of what is needed in God's church. We are blessed here at West Mason. We continue to grow, and there certainly are becoming people that are qualified to meet the descriptions, the qualifications that we find in the scriptures, which we'll be talking about this month. And it's important for all of us to look around, to understand what the job is, what the work is, and to certainly understand what God's plan is on the subject. Last month, we spent a lot of time talking about, quite frankly, how Jesus is the greatest example of all of these things. And we're going to look how man is to emulate those things this month and what that looks like from a leadership standpoint. It's interesting to me throughout the scriptures where you see that it's God who establishes this. The understanding in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, talking about God as deity, the Godhead, and specifically it talks about Jesus himself. He's the one that descended in verse 10. But in verse 11 it says, and he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to build up the body of Christ. So we understand the purpose of them. Now, for some in this world, they would view me to be the pastor. I am not. I'm not. Tyler is not. We commonly refer to them as elders here. But that's the same description. It's the same work as we're going to see as we go forward this month. But it's understanding the purpose as to their job. It's for the equipping of the saints. And we understand that certainly from the evangelist perspective. We can understand that obviously from the apostles and the prophets' perspective. But there is an understanding for you and I as we go forward this month to understand the purpose of the pastors, the purpose of the elders, the purpose of the overseers, which is the description of the same thing. And certainly, Acts the 20th chapter makes that very, very clear. But I want to suggest to you, or I want to point out to you, that this is the plan. This is what God wanted, so much so, if you turn over to 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, and we're going to dive into this a little bit more in just a few minutes, but just to lay the foundation of this, the Apostle Peter himself was an elder, was a pastor. In verse 1 of chapter 5, it says, "Therefore I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and witness of the suffering of Christ and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." And we're going to come back to this chapter in just a minute, but what I want to point out to you is what the great shepherd left. The greatest example of what it means to be a shepherd. What it means to be, in essence, a leader. And it's understanding the great example that he left and the purpose that is mentioned here in 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, that it's according to the will of God. This was the plan. But then it takes another step in the verses that we were just read to us over in Acts, the 20th chapter. You know, there's a lot of things, and again, as I'll continue to say this month, that we're going to be looking at these different passages from different perspectives as we go forward. But I want to point out to you in verse 28 of Acts, the 20th chapter, "Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." That is a powerful phrase. Who set them? The Holy Spirit did. Now, Tyler this month is going to be speaking on behalf of the congregation. What does it look like the congregation looks like when it's following an eldership and what that looks like? This is a passage I'd never want you to forget. Who put him there? Remember that as we go forward. Remember the seriousness of this position. Remember the seriousness, as we'll get into as we go forward, of the accusations against them. Remember the seriousness of how harshly you judge. In 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, a verse that I didn't turn to, in verse 11, it's pretty interesting how it says there specifically that God placed who he wanted, where he wanted, and for what he wanted. Specifically in context, talking about spiritual gifts. But I don't believe it's changed. There's a purpose. There's a purpose. Us, you, and I need to figure out what that responsibility is. What do I bring to this body of Christ? What's my role? What do I do? For some, it's evangelists. For some, it's pastors. For some, it's teachers. But the desire, the goal, is to equip the saints. For some, it's saints. It's the understanding of the great example we all are to one another and doing our responsibility here at West Mason. And if that is done, to bring, and this is what it's all about, is to bring glory to the Almighty God. That's what this is all about. And to do things his way. You turn back to 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. I do want to look at this a little deeper. And again, please understand that this is an introduction sermon for what's going to be talked about this month. But I want us to understand specifically who Jesus was. He's the great shepherd. And the understanding of the responsibility of an eldership. It is their job to be examples to the flock. They are examples to the church. They are people that we look up to from a perspective of what they've done spiritually and who they are following. It's interesting that something that perhaps we forget every once in a while, elders are still sheep. They're still sheep. Now, there's no question that they've been called or they're going to be put into positions of something else from the standpoint of an eldership and what comes with that from a shepherd perspective. We'll talk about that next week. But it's still understanding that they are still following the chief shepherd, the great shepherd. And what I want us to be aware of is that they too look to Jesus. They are following him or should be following him. But not only that, when it comes to the flock, and I'm going to tell you, one of my favorite things that I hear in sermons or in prayers here is when people will say, let us be an easy flock to shepherd. I love that. I love that. It's the understanding of our responsibility. These men that we are blessed to have at this particular point as elders, and perhaps those in the future, need to be encouraged by the flock. It is a difficult yet honorable work. And it is something we need to understand, what they do, what their responsibility is. It is not that they are the example that we follow simply because of them. It's what 1 Corinthians 11 chapter and verse 1 says, the Apostle Paul says, you imitate me as I imitate who? Who's it say? Christ. That's no different than the eldership. That's no different than any Christian. You can imitate me, you can follow my example as I do Jesus. What does that mean? That means they're not an example of perfection. They're not. And I'm afraid sometimes Christians look at them as though they're going to be perfect, or they look at the qualifications as though they have to be perfect. They're not going to be. Peter, I am convinced, would have never been an elder in some congregations today. He betrayed or he denied Jesus. There's no way that he could be an elder. We'll get into the qualifications. But it's understanding what they mean. And it's understanding what example they are to be. They are an example of what it means to grow in Christ. They are an example of what it means to strive to be in the light of Christ. They are an example, if they do make a mistake, what you're supposed to do. They are an example. And you certainly see that throughout the scriptures. But make sure that we all understand what their responsibility is from this perspective. And again, it's wider than this as we go forward. But it's understanding that they are an example to you and to me. People that we look up to as those that are going through difficulties in this life, have gone through difficulties in this life, and they are men in this congregation that are concerned for your soul. You know, I read an article about this man who was taking care of some sheep, and his thought of taking care of sheep, that he would go out and count them. And he had 32 sheep. He would go out and count them. And one day he had 31. One was dead. And a farmer that was very close to him, it was an older man, said, to be a shepherd, you have to do more than count them. You got to take care of them. You have to protect them. An elder's job isn't to count and put a number up on the tote board up here. That's not a deacon's job either. Only. It's the understanding of who's here, why they're here, who's not here, why they're not here. It's understanding who each other are. Now, to some degree, that comes down to the sheep. Our willingness to do that, to open up to those men. But it's also understanding those men and the responsibility that comes with this job. We're not going to get into them much this morning, but I would encourage you, if you have not done so, to turn to 1 Timothy the 3rd chapter and Titus the 1st chapter and begin to look at the qualifications, the descriptions that are mentioned here. Not so much from a checklist perspective, but to understand the purpose of them. In 1 Timothy the 3rd chapter, Timothy is told to go, he's in Ephesus, and he's going to go and he's going to help a congregation that was already well established. That's who we talked about or just read about in Acts 20. But he was going to continue on, telling them what kind of men are going to serve. Titus's account, Titus is sent to Crete, and he's told, you need to put elders in the churches, every city that's there. And it's the understanding of the purpose of them. And we begin to see the description of them. They are good, moral people. They have good character. And again, this is just a broad view of this. They are men who have good family character. And as we go forward, it's the understanding of this. All of us have a responsibility in this. There are good men who would be qualified to be an elder if it wasn't for their family. There is a responsibility across the board for people and their families and understanding what their responsibility is, how it fits into the congregation, and what the purpose is. Are they able to teach their own household, to bring up their own household, to protect their own household? And obviously, men of good personal character. They're the example of holiness as they are following Jesus. They're the example of not being quick-tempered as they follow Jesus. That doesn't mean they don't get mad, by the way. But it's understanding those qualifications as we go forward. And I beg you to make sure that you look at these qualifications. Look at them. Read them. We're going to get into them more as the month goes on. But understanding what they are, how people meet them, and what the perspective and what the purpose of those things are. It's far more than a checklist. It can't just simply be a checklist. There's purpose to them. What are they? What's the purpose? And that's what we're going to get into this month. It's understanding, ultimately, the motivation. If you turn over to John, the 21st chapter, with me. When we understand this perspective, it reminds me a lot of John 21. And certainly this can be used in various different ways. Peter here is given three times, basically, not to deny Jesus, but to show how much he loves him. Do you love me, Peter? Yes. Tend my lambs. Do you love me, Peter? You know I do. Tend my sheep. Do you love me, Peter? And he becomes so upset. He's grieving. Feed my sheep. You know, it's interesting, and you can get into the various different Greek words that are used here, how Jesus uses love, how Peter uses love, and the different perspectives that are given. And ultimately, it comes down to, yes, I love you, God. Yes, I love you, Jesus. But what I love going forward is that Peter is told how he shows that love. This is what I want you to do. And it's the understanding of the exact same thing when it comes to us. Now, when we apply it to the eldership, it's understanding their purpose. Their responsibility is to feed my lambs. Now, there's a difference between the lambs and the sheep. We can make it very simple. There's an understanding of how you feed the babies, how you take care of the little ones, spiritually, by the way. How that is handled, the understanding of that perspective, that it's not across the board how you handle or take care of certain situations. It's understanding the situation. Feed my lambs. It's the understanding when it comes to tending my sheep, that you take care of the sheep. And by the way, even when the sheep don't want it, even when it's that one that keeps going away, that Jesus will talk about. It's understanding that responsibility. But it's also important for the sheep to understand that responsibility and to not take it for granted. At West Mason, we have been blessed for, I don't even know how many years, 10? How long have you been an elder? That's what I'm saying. It all runs together at this point, doesn't it? 9, 10 years, whatever it is. Before that, we didn't have any. We could take it for granted quickly. What it means to be blessed with a leadership, with an eldership. Don't take it for granted. There are congregations throughout this world, this country, and certainly this area, that just simply want two men to meet these qualifications. We are blessed here. So we have a responsibility to understand that they are going to take care of the sheep. And why are they going to take care of the sheep? I believe it's the same questions that Jesus asked them. Do you love me? Do you love me? Yes. That's what 1 Peter is talking about. You are following the example of Jesus Christ and taking care of the flock. That is an awesome responsibility. And it's the ultimate understanding, as Mark the 12th chapter, verse 31 and or 30 and 31 talk about, that you're going to love God with your whole being, with all that you have. And you're going to love your neighbors as yourself. The great example of what that can possibly mean for so many different people and the responsibility in the church is that I am going to love God, as 1 John will talk about, by showing my love to my brethren. And for some, it's by being elders. For some, it's by being deacons, teachers, making the communion, whatever it is, whatever our responsibility is, whatever we're able to add, whatever that encouragement is, whether it's just simply as we would try to put in our minds, just sending cards and not understanding how important and impactful that is. There's an importance to every single one of us. And it's not about whether or not I view it to be something great and powerful and I'm not given a title, which we'll talk about. It's understanding that God sees all that we do and that your toil is not in vain. And we have a responsibility to Him to use the talents, in essence, that we have been given. Do you love Him? Tend to His sheep. Tend to them. The understanding, as we go forward, is the purpose. We're going to talk next week about the idea of Him being a shepherd. What that looks like. What's the point of that? For us, that can be kind of lost. But understanding what that means as Him being, as men have the opportunity to shepherd the flock. In Acts the 20th chapter, if you have the opportunity to read that, I encourage you to do so. To understand what they are looking for. You know, a lot of times we come to services and then we just come in and we sit down. And I've heard people say, this congregation is at peace. There's nothing going on. And all I want to say is, bless your heart. Those elders are doing a great job then, if that's what you think. Is the understanding that there are things that are going on simply because you're human, if you were wondering. I'm human. Things happen. And there's a need for that leadership. And as He tells them, be on the alert, watch, look out. While the sheep are simply just eating, look out. Watch for them. And it's the understanding for you and I to look amongst us of whether or not there are men that are qualified to be elders. And as I stand before you, I believe there are. So it's up to us to look at them. And as we go forward, we'll talk more about this. But it's a serious issue. It is a serious responsibility. And I brought up earlier the fact that it's a title. It is not. It is a description of the great work that is being done. You're not just simply given a title to walk around. And there's some people that you can call deacon, elder, preacher, whatever the case may be. They just want to be in a parade. Just want to wave. I'm Deacon Scott. It's a responsibility. There's a purpose for it. And it's understanding that. And it's no different when it comes to an eldership. So there's a need for us to make sure that we take this seriously. To look at what it says. And to make sure that it's applied as God would want it to be applied. And His plan. But it's the understanding, if you go back to Ephesians, the 4th chapter, as we bring the lesson to a close, what the purpose is of all of this conversation. In verse 11, again, and He gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body in Christ until we attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. There's the purpose. That the congregation will continue to grow and we can attain to the unity of faith, the equipping of the saints. It's a responsibility for all of us, as he continues on here in context, that we're not tossed to and fro, but speaking to one another in love. As we go through this process, I have seen it where love is set aside when names come up. It's not going to be that way here. It's understanding these people and the names that come up and how, whether or not they meet the qualifications, but it's going to be done in love. And it's going to be done to the betterment of this congregation based on God's plan and what he is expecting of us. If you're not a part of his body, you have the opportunity to be a part of it. Certainly, we spent the whole time talking about the idea of what the organization looks like. But the reality is, we all need to be in the body to begin with. We need to understand how we get into that body. It is amazing. You know, we're talking about scars in the auditorium class. If I put a picture up behind me and it was just a hand that had a scar right here, people would know exactly who that is. They would know exactly, and it's not even his hand. They would know. He was willing to leave heaven to become the amazing example, quite frankly, for everything when it comes to being a follower of Jesus or follower of God. He was the perfect sacrifice for you and for me, just to give you the opportunity for salvation. We all have that opportunity. But it's your choice. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came and he died for you, he took your place, that you understand that you need to repent of the sins that you have committed, confess him as the Son of God that he is, that you're going to follow him as Lord, as Romans 10:9 would say. He is the Lord. Be buried with him in baptism for the remission of your sins, that you will be in the body, his body. To understand as we continue to live this life that we are living in service to him, striving to serve him, to love him, and therefore to love one another. If you haven't been doing that, now's the time. If you have questions, ask them. There is no reason for anyone to leave here not right with God. No reason. There's no reason for anyone to leave here not sure if you're right with God. I love coming back to the fact that somebody obeyed the gospel last week in Violet. I love that. It's awesome. But there's other people that need to do the same. We need to encourage one another. I bring her up because that's just because somebody obeyed the gospel, it's not over. We've got to continue to help, to continue to encourage one another. But if there's anything that we can do for you now, I ask you to please come as we stand and sing.